Life with the Girlfriends with Christine Marie and Julie.
Hi, Julie.
Hey, Christine Marie.
How are you, girlfriend?
I'm doing good. It's more life with the girlfriend.
It really is more life. Even though we're sucking on C's.
Yeah.
Sucking on Halls vitamin C's. Is that a plug for Halls? I want money. I demand money. Still a little gravelly in the voice and a little wheezy in the chest and all that.
And I remember you said, should we run a replay? And I'm like, no,
fine. I was all warm and I had my heating pad on and my hot booties, meaning my little slippers.
Right.
Although I do have a hot booty.
That's what Dad says.
And, I was just all warm and snuggly and I'm like, dang, let's just run a best of.
Yeah.
As if there is a best of, Christine.
They're all the best of.
They're all. Come on.
There's no what's it called?
What? Oh, a compilation?
Compilation.
Oh, I was wondering where you were going with that.
We don't have one. My brother said we should get one, but, that requires a little more work than I want to do.
Yeah. I'll let our producer do that.
Yeah.
That'd be funny.
Is that me or is that you?
Don't make me do that.
Is that producer me or you, girlfriend?
Neither of us.
There you go.
So, girlfriend, how are you? You know how I'm doing? I'm missing the light.
I know. Daylight saving change.
Yeah.
Or now we're in daylight saving.
Yeah,
right?
It's been a week now, and I want it back.
You're not a happy camper.
I want my light back. I would call it, you have that SAD, seasonal affective disorder?
Yes.
Where you just truly, your body misses light.
Would you like to live near the equator where it was 12 hours all year round?
12 and 12?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, I'll take that.
And sometimes it's like 5 a.m. in the morning when the sun cracks.
Oh, I see.
5 p.m. when it goes down.
And
could you switch your day around?
I don't know. I mean, it gets light early now and dark early as well. I mean, it's like 4 to 5 sunset.
I know. And here's the deal. I mean, we need to realize that come, what is it, December 21st, it will start going back to getting lighter and lighter every day.
Yes. Ooh, whoopee.
But until that time, we're going to be losing more and more light.
Yes.
Until that December 21st comes around, you're like, I can't take it. This sucks.
And I just bought 4 light bulbs a day, and they were
$10.
Mm-hmm. What in the world has happened to our universe?
Well, they're supposed to last forever, which is a lie.
Oh, really?
Yes. They're supposed to be
long. Tell that to my bathroom light.
Yeah, I know that in your bedroom we keep lights on pretty much constantly.
Yes, yes.
And darn it, as Americans, we should be able to.
Well, ComEd always sends us that little report.
Yeah, yeah.
And they always say, literally, we are not hogs in terms of energy.
No.
None, it's a small household, but we are always...
But not that small of a house, I guess.
Yeah, we are always way, way bigger than our neighbors.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
Except that I think we do leave lights on because we don't feel like we don't like being in the dark.
And who does?
Well, I think we leave lights on like in between. I don't know, like in other rooms. I don't know.
See? You're talking yourself out of it.
I don't know why our lights.
I agree with our bedroom and our living room and our kitchen.
Right.
Everything else though is really
dark and off.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I almost want to have them come over and say,
"Yeah,
please evaluate. Where are we going?
I want an energy analysis.
Please. I can't figure it out because I want to know why. I mean, we live in a subdivision where a lot of people work from home or retired and work from home or, and
are just home.
Are just home.
Yeah.
Because the truth is, nowadays, people work such weird hours, there's a good chance that someone's home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have more than 2 or 3 people in your household, very few of you always work 9 to 5.
Exactly.
So it's just that way, girlfriend.
Yeah.
You know?
So girlfriend, what do you got on the, what are we going to talk about tonight?
I got a lot to talk about.
What's on the agenda?
Yeah, I have a lot to talk about.
Cool. Do you want to talk about who we are?
Sure.
Go look it up, ChristineMarieAndJulie.com.
That's right. Well, I'm going to say,
buy our book and then read the back cover.
There you go. Please keep us funded.
Yes,
it's cover part. It's our book is really our kick, our Kickstart product. You know,
yes.
That's, you know, please.
It's our donate button.
Yes, exactly. Let me give you our book and I want to talk about our book a little bit too today.
Mm-hmm.
A couple ideas that we have in the book that you brought up this week.
Yes.
One is I want to talk about this idea about having no plan B. Like, you're all in.
Mm-hmm.
You're all in. You've moved all the chips to the middle of the table. This is your last hand you're playing. You're all in. No plan B.
Right.
Tony Robbins calls this, you know, you're going to the island and you're burning the boat.
Burning the boats, baby.
So you can't go back to the boat again.
Yeah.
You're done. This is it. Has to work. Has to, you figure this out.
And Jack Canfield says, it's the 100% in. You can't, you know, if you're only 99.999% in, there's still room for, like, not burning the boat, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But if you're 100% in, it makes it a little easier, honestly.
And it does make it easier because your brain then is...
Your brain is committed.
Committed, and there's not this back and forth dialogue.
Right. Or, like, if once it starts getting tough, or, as we say, challenging, you go, F it, I'm out of here.
Right.
Who needs this crap, right?
Exactly, exactly. And so I want to talk about that. I want to talk about the idea of that. I want to talk about, I was listening to this one NPR show, and it was, I can't remember what it was called, but they had a comedian on. And somehow the topic was on, this comedian said, when you're growing up, you should try all different things and hope you fail at them all.
Mm-hmm.
So that you know what you like and what you don't like. You know, too many times we're stuck in a place. And I'm like, well, this is interesting.
Yeah.
And then they somehow talked about fantasizing and how when you're fantasizing in your brain, you're never fantasizing like you're losing, like you're going to a big fight or a verbal argument.
Mm-hmm.
You always are the one that wins your verbal argument. They always sound so good in your brain. And then the announcer goes, I wonder if Desmond Tutu, though, does the same thing. I wonder if he if he's a guy that in his brain he's like, well,
it's a win-win.
Yeah.
Not, I'm here to you know, create
or I will forgive you.
Yeah.
I will forgive you. And then the comedian says, and I wrote this quote down because I thought it was hysterical and just the way I feel. And it was, Desmond Tutu was being asked, how can you be the way you are when you've seen such terrible things? You know, he's in apartheid, and he was an activist during this time in the 80s and just saw horrible, horrible treatment of his people and so forth. And he said, I'm a Christian, and I'm a prisoner of hope.
Ah.
I want to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about that idea of what that really means about being a prisoner of hope.
Yes.
And then
I'd like to hear what you have to say on that.
Oh, thank you, girlfriend. And then I first kind of want to do what we always do, which is kind of talk about our week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I had an okay week, up and down, like everybody else's, and mm-hmm. it was, you know, interesting week. But something happened to me last night that was so funny and bizarre mm-hmm. that I want to share it with everybody.
Cool.
I saw 007 Spectre last night.
As you call it, Spectrum.
Spectrum.
I saw Spectrum.
Yeah, exactly.
Really? What's that? Really? I'm throwing my hands up now. Really?
What? Really? Say what? And I found it to be awesome. I thought it was a great Bond movie.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I was going to rate the four Daniel Craig Bond movies,
mm-hmm.
when I first saw Casino Royale, I fell in love with him. I fell in love with him and James Bond.
Right, right.
I fell in love with the storyline.
He's
I
just
fell
a little gritty Bond.
Yeah.
I like him. He's not so metro.
No, and he's not smart either in the sense of he just gets the job done.
Right.
He has no plan B.
No.
Except
there
get the
go.
Bad guy.
That's right.
See how I did that? See how I put that in there?
Uh-huh. Whoa. Hold on now. I got to. Whoa. That was pretty profound how you did that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But he has, and I love that about that guy. And so, and then the second one I think was called, so bad I can't remember what it was called. But it was not that great. It
mm-hmm.
was, I don't remember it that much.
Mm-hmm.
And then the reason why it wasn't that great, it was kind of a continuation of the first one, I mean, of Casino Royale. Hmm. He's fighting his, finding the killer of his love and all that stuff.
Oh, okay.
But mostly...
Was it Benicio del Toro?
No.
That was the bad guy?
No. And he wasn't the bad guy in the last one either. It's somebody else.
Okay. Not Benicio. Who was
yeah.
it? It's the guy that has the kills the cows with the hammer thing.
Yes.
What's his name? Know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do know what you're talking about.
Yeah. The heck is his name? He's married to...
Okay. Yeah, he's married to Cruz.
Penelope Cruz.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So anyway, though, it was first of all Casino Royale, then Quantum of Solace, which I did not get. It just wasn't. But this was a time when they were having the strikes, the writer strikes. I know, so it just was not good. And then we had Skyfall. And Skyfall was the one that you loved with your guy in there.
Hmm.
And
You mean the Penelope Cruz's?
Husband, yes.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yes. And I've been trying to find who it is. I can't get it right in front of me anyway.
I don't know why I keep thinking Benicio. I know it's not, but...
No. And then, and then we have the new one, mm-hmm. and so forth. Mm-hmm. And I love this one, and it starts off with a pretty incredible helicopter scene.
Uh-huh.
And it was so incredible that I was... Very, 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 like, I couldn't take it. It was visually,
almost like being in an IMAX.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And being in one of those IMAX when you're trapped in and you moved around, like, you're going to lose your guts, you know?
It
was horrible.
Go up and down.
And so there were, like, several helicopter scenes. I'm mm-hmm. like, what does this mean?
Hmm.
Am I being programmed? What's going on
mm-hmm.
here? Now, here's the funny part about this experience.
That huge technology called helicopters.
Yes, exactly. They were doing stuff I didn't know they could do. But here's the funny part.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to set this up a little bit because I don't want to feel weird in any way. Do you remember listening to, I played this for you,
mm-hmm.
Louis C.K.'s performance on Saturday Night Live?
Yeah, I loved it.
It was great.
Brilliant.
I thought it was brilliant, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he talked about, I'm maybe a little racist, but not really, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he would bring up situations and so forth. And then he would also talk about, you know, man, those pedophiles really must like kids because, you know, the consequences are so great. Like, I like a mine, you know, he said a Mounds bar.
Right.
Because I can't eat it all the time, right? You know, but my God, I mean, you must really love kids. And I thought it was hysterical.
Yeah, it was smart. He's a smart comedian.
Because we all know these are horrible issues,
mm-hmm.
but we've got to kind of break through this still, mm-hmm. you know?
And he was talking about, he said, if you saw a black guy in a hoodie at a 7-Eleven, all right?
Yes.
Can't remember the punchline, though.
Well, the punchline was nothing. It's just that, like, if I saw a white 40-year-old in a hoodie.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'd go, hey, train for the marathon?
Right, that's right. That's what it was.
And if I saw a black, you know, 20-year-old in a hoodie, I'd be like, all right, cool. We're all cool here, right?
Yeah.
There's nothing
we're
going
cool.
on. We're
cool.
fine.
Yeah.
All good, right? Yeah. And so I had an experience like that this weekend at
Julie,
the theater.
You really had a hoodie experience.
I did. And, I'm going to because I found it funny. And so I'm going to the theater, and this is how it always goes. Doug gives me his wallet. I run in because I want to get the good seats, and he parks the car. And just out of curiosity, I'm looking around. I'm going, there are... like 30 to 40, 17 to 19-year-old black kids in this theater. I mean, in the lobby, which
mm-hmm.
is out of ordinary.
Right. We live in Dixon.
And not just, like, kids, like, all males,
mm-hmm.
17 to 19. I'm like,
mm-hmm.
this is interesting. But I'm focused on the fact that, you know, I'm...
You've got to get to
seats. I've got to get my seats, you know. And so I get my seats, and I go into the theater first, and I'm yelling at Doug. I'm like, come on in, Doug. I got your tickets. He's like, okay, good. So we get in and we get our seats. And these seats are coveted because there's only like six seats in the whole theater, three and three on separate sides of the door, where there's literally, it's you and then the walking space and the rest of the seats going down the hill,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
meaning you have room.
We have room for our
space,
feet and legs.
Yeah.
And if I don't get these seats, I find the theater experience not as pleasurable.
Mm-hmm.
And so Doug and I are, you know, talking. We're watching the previews. I go get popcorn, come back, And then literally, as the movie's starting, all 40 of these, you know, 17, 19-year-old black kids come right, walking right in. And in a single file line. And I'm like, this is weird.
Yeah.
And they disperse all over the theater. There's barely enough room anyway, but, you know, here and there. And it was kind of somebody, one of the kids made a comment, you know, like we might be the only black kids here or something like that. And then another black kid goes, don't be so ignorant, you know, because somebody said the N-word as well in the group, you know, in their group. Mm-hmm. Not any of us, because we're just like, and.
Because you can't, they can't.
Exactly, right?
Right. We can say, cracker.
And see, I'm laughing because I find this hysterical because I want to ask questions, but I can't. Like, if they were 30 to 40, middle-aged, or not even middle-aged, like older people, like older women.
The Grey Panthers.
Yes.
you want to know their story. Why are you here?
I do. Like, or like, hey, did you come in a bus? How'd you all get here? Like, what is this? This one group of people coming in, you know.
Yeah. This is normal.
It's normal for my It's normal for my brain to want to know what's going on.
Yeah, me too.
Not because I think it's bad, but I'm curious.
It's curious and curious.
I mean, because like I know,
like that day that we were in Walmart and there was about 50 cop cars all unmarked in the Walmart.
FBI agents.
Yes, FBI had FBI on their
back.
On their backs, yeah. And we like. Curious.
I'd
like to know the story.
And I would have, and 2 hours later, we did know the
story. We did know the story.
And no one believed us. They thought, oh, no, they're just probably doing a little practice run.
Right. Uh-huh, baby.
And real quick about that FBI story of all those cars. I mean, it must have been 40 cars. And
easy.
Yeah.
Easy.
Coming from our comptroller, Cromwell. And
Rita
Cromwell. But I just love the fact that none of them had great cars.
No.
Some had minivans, some had sedans, they were all dusty.
Yeah, nobody had a Cadillac.
And not just that. They weren't all at black SUVs.
No.
I thought that was standard,
standard issue.
Yeah, standard issue car. You get a black SUV when you're becoming an FBI agent. Mm-hmm. What do they call those guys, FBI agents? They're G-men, yeah.
G-men.
You get the funny glasses and you get a black SUV. No, it wasn't true. Mm-hmm. They all had a variety of different cars and different looks and all that stuff. I'm like, oh, awesome. They're all undercover.
They were truly undercover because, you know, that old beater next to you could be an FBI agent.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. And they knew that we were all looking at them, like, what's going on?
Yeah,
and
why are you sitting here looking at us?
Yeah, and I wanted to talk to them, but I wanted to know the story, and they didn't. Yeah. I didn't get the vibe I could ask them. But I wanted to ask.
Yeah.
My brain said, please ask. And so anyway, we're back to the movie theater now. And so, you know, everybody's fine. And then a movie starting, and 2 minutes into the movie, the tallest white dude walks in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's got...
And you wanted to know his story, too.
I want to know his story.
Like, how could you be 7 feet tall? What is this?
I swear. And he sits right in front of us.
Oh, my God.
And now, I can't be mad at him because he's literally the last seat of the aisle.
Right.
But we're behind him still.
Yeah, he's being respectful.
He's kind of being respectful.
Yeah.
But when I mean tall, I'm not talking 6'1". I am talking 6'7", 6'8".
Mm-hmm.
He is the tallest guy I've seen in a long time. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, And so Doug and I spent the whole movie with him having his head on one side and me having my head on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we both have cooties toward each other. And like we're a magnet and both sides are pointing together so we repel each other.
And you'll stay like that.
That's what my mama said.
Really, he does have cooties.
There you go, mother. There you go. And so, and that's how we see the whole movie. And in one part I was a little ticked at him. Because they had two screenings of 007 that day. And just 15 minutes later, they could have gotten the other theater and gotten the real good seats like we had, and no one would have been bothered.
Mm-hmm.
So I almost wanted to say something to him, but
you
then
I'm
like...
You wanted to say, hello, sir. I'd like to show you that the other theater...
Which is 15 minutes later.
Yeah, you could get the seats that we have.
Yeah. It wouldn't be lovely for you. Mm-hmm. You'd have all this leg room.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, screw it.
Yeah. In some ways, though, I know that you could think it was sort of passive-aggressive on his part, but basically he was probably being very respectful.
He was.
Everybody
he was in
else.
The last row that he could be in, which just happened to be right
in front of you. Yeah. So did you like the movie? spectrum.
Yes. I really, really, really enjoyed it. And I got to say this real quick because my computer is going to be rebooting in about 2 minutes.
Okay.
There was two love scenes. James Bond always has the same formula, right?
Mm-hmm.
He, in the first 5 or 10 minutes, he has a quick love interest where they, you know, basically mm-hmm. has a one-night stand.
Mm-hmm. Kind of a romp.
Yes.
In a sack.
And I heard before I saw the movie that one of his love interests was older than him, and it was odd to see Daniel Craig with somebody who was age-appropriate.
Mm.
And she was beautiful. Her name was Monica Bellucci.
Mm. Oh, Italian, huh?
Yep, and Italian, and she looks beautiful. She's gorgeous, you know, but
mm-hmm.
she's 51.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and they kind of had a little bit of a hot love scene, you know,
mm-hmm.
10 seconds long, not too big of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, well, this is, but it's interesting. It's sort of like you're taken back because they're being age-appropriate. And it feels weird,
mm-hmm.
you know?
In the movies, it feels weird.
It kind of does.
Yeah.
And I don't want to feel weird. I want
yeah.
to feel like, hey, it looks right.
Right.
And it did look right. And then near the end, he has a longer love interest with a woman by the name of Leah Seydoux, I guess, S-E-Y-D-O-U-X.
Hmm.
She's done a lot of stuff. I think she's French, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm. O-U-X, I would say. Yeah.
Very pretty, beautiful woman. In the show, I thought she was barely 23.
Oh, my gosh.
But she's not. She's 30. So it makes me feel a little bit better.
Hey, let's take a sigh of relief.
Yeah, because he's 47, I think he is.
Yeah.
Daniel Craig is.
Who's he married to?
Rachel Weisz.
Okay.
Or Weisz.
Yeah.
And so anyway, that so I'm, it just gave me the ooze factor. Like, dude,
mm-hmm.
you could have made her. She could have been older. She could have been 10 years older,
mm-hmm.
still looked gorgeous, and been younger than him, and it would have been okay.
Right.
It's sort of like in the last Mission Impossible movie, the actress that he was kind of Tom Cruise's love interest looked a little mature.
Mm-hmm.
And people were commenting like they didn't kiss, didn't have any real chemistry.
I thought they had
a ton of chemistry, and they did have a love scene, but it was she hugged him tenderly, like,
uh-huh.
and it was like, yeah, because you know they've both been around the block, you know they don't need to. It's not like you know
a good what'd you say tender hug.
Yeah,
yeah,
it means a lot.
It means a lot. You can do the trick with that.
Yeah, do a lot more. You do it appropriately. I've had some pretty damn good hugs in my life. Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, like, well, that was a good hug. I'll take that hug any day. And just to let you know, my computer is restarting, so we'll see how long that takes. If I
see, we have an issue with our computer, Julie.
I know.
I'm trying to save our May days.
I know. I know everything, but I will take care of it. And so here's the other issue I have. So that was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then here's the other issue I have with the movie that I thought was that brought me to feeling very anxious and anxiety driven. And that was this idea that it was all about computers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how the evil, you know, nemesis of
artificial intelligence.
Yes.
But
no, basically wants to have all the information going to them so they
right.
can control it all.
Right.
And then we want, you know, then the security regions wants it as well. And in my mind, I'm like, oh, this is just leading totally to artificial intelligence,
mm-hmm.
which is, if you're in my circle that I listen to, it's one of the few things people are afraid of. They're afraid of nuclear war.
Mm-hmm.
Check. They're afraid of that. And they're afraid of artificial intelligence
right.
in some form.
Yes.
And my feeling is that could be like a 1-2 punch.
Yes.
Your artificial intelligence starts your nuclear war, and then we have the Terminator.
I'll be back.
And here it is. Art imitating life or life imitating art, we don't know. And since it's just, you know, since we don't really know about time travel, it really could be one and the same. Oh, it gets so confusing out there, girlfriend, doesn't it?
Oh, my God, Julie. Time travel. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Isn't it a wonder, though, that is anybody really happy? You know, you just like, oh, my God, you know, and thank God for comedians. And that,
yeah.
Like even like Louis C.K. that are smart. Smart comedians that, you know, don't have to dumb it down a little bit, you know.
Well, and interesting you say that. I think
that happy out there.
I want to know if people are really happy out there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and maybe we have to redefine it because I think it's been a long time since I've been sustainably happy.
Right. And I feel the same way. You know, if I would say that, am I happy situationally? You know, the situations in my life, you know, sort of suck, you know, sort of. So I have to find happiness beyond that. And yet you and I were talking about, you know, grace, right?
Right.
And we were saying, like, well, how would it feel, though, if God took away the grace that we have on us right now? Like, oops.
Oops, yeah.
I don't want that.
That doesn't seem right. I got tons of grace everywhere, yeah.
Yeah, and then,
Well, we talked about this idea, too, about being that double-sided sword, which is I want to feel grateful for what I have, which I do, and yet there are areas in my life that really bring me down.
Right. And there are areas that we want more.
And there are areas that we want more.
More life.
And I think that is a perpetual, I don't know if that's the American way, that we're always striving to be something more,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm. To be something more, to get something more, to expand,
mm-hmm.
expansion in all ways. And as if that, there's that old joke, right? I think you told it to me. You know, this guy, he's in Greece or something, and he's a fisherman,
right,
with his son.
Yes.
And this entrepreneur comes up to him and says, "Don't you want more from your life?" The guy shows him he can have like 3 or 4 boats or whatever. And,
yeah. And he takes part of the money and invests it.
Yeah.
And about 20, 30 years, he can retire.
Right.
And then the fisherman goes, "What would I do when I retire?"
Yeah.
He goes, "Well, I don't know. You could go on, you know, you can go fishing with your son." And it's like, boom.
That's what I do. Boom.
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 That's what I do now,
motherfucker.
Yeah. And I drop, and then he drops his fishing pole in a very aggressive way.
Right.
Like, I'm out of here.
But that is the difference, I think, between our culture.
Right.
You know, I mean, the first thing, like this one person that we know, she had her own business, right?
Right.
And the first thing she wanted to do was, she was a teacher,
yeah,
in her own business. And the first thing she did when she got just a tiny bit of success is she hired another person to teach for her.
Yes.
And most everybody liked her because she taught.
Right.
But in our culture, it's like, no, you got to hurry up and hire somebody else to take
right.
your place. And
take your place because you're the figurehead. Then.
Because you can't, the whole idea is that you don't work.
Yes, that's
crazy.
It is crazy.
Yeah.
Well, you used to tell me that we have a tendency to promote everyone out of their most successful place to be.
Right.
What's that?
The Peter principle,
yes.
Or something like
yes.
that. Yeah.
Exactly.
You get to your highest level to where you're finally incompetent
yeah.
at what you do.
And you're like, yay, here I am.
Yeah. Your whole life is just, you know, you want to get bigger and bigger and bigger so you don't have to work.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh.
That's exactly what Doug wants.
I know.
It's crazy because he barely works now.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, you kind of have that now. He goes, well, I just want more money. I go, okay, well, I don't know how to help you with
yeah.
all this.
We don't know how to help people with that.
Well, I mean, I do, but
he's not willing to listen to you, Jill.
I'm not. Yes, I'm not in his circle of influence.
Mm-mm.
I have to be very, and sometimes I'll just repeat what
you
he says.
You just
got to
be supportive in the sense that you just repeat what he says.
Yes, and then he'll get mad at me because he goes, "That's not exactly what I said." I go, "Doug, I'm just trying to tell you, I am repeating exactly word for word what you told me 5 minutes ago, and I'm doing it in a positive manner. So if that's not what you want to hear,
no.
then don't say those things to me, because
right.
I'm really repeating what you're saying to
yes,
me.
Yes, exactly.
He goes, all right.
Mm-hmm.
What can we say about that? Nothing.
Mm-hmm. Nothing.
I know we had a little bit of a squabble on Saturday night after his headlight wasn't working, and, you know, previously, about 4 weeks ago, we got hit by a drunk driver and damaged the headlight, and it just hasn't been the same. The headlight hasn't been the same. And so we went to our local mechanic, who's literally open till 11 o'clock at night.
Because they're all drinking.
Yeah. And but they always take you, no matter what
time.
Yeah,
they take you no matter what. I love those guys.
And so we pulled in. He's like, yeah, I'll come see you. You know, bring it over.
We pulled in like at 10:30 one night. We go like, our doors aren't locking properly. They just keep going up and down. And he goes, oh, let me just pull a fuse.
Boom. And now what do I owe you?
Now they're permanently open.
Yeah.
Go on. Just get out of here.
Like,
you little crazy people.
Yeah, thank you, Ben. And so he fixed the headlight in 5 minutes or 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Didn't charge Doug anything. Oh, well, then he gave me some parts for the MG.
Oh,
he
no.
He had some parts.
Really?
Left aside, yeah. That were original. He goes, you might want these. I'm like, oh,
did,
he, okay.
Did they come out of their car when he was working on?
Yes, they did.
Oh, my God.
I know.
It's only been like 7 months.
Exactly. And so I picked him up, and then...
Do you still have him?
Yeah, I still have him.
Okay.
And so anyway, but I dropped his car off, and as soon as you turn the ignition light off, all the lights go off outside and inside the car, or outside the car. So, but I guess they really don't. Like, just the headlights do, but not the back lights or the amber lights, you know, they still stay on. Mm-hmm. And so I'm looking at his car, I'm like, your lights are still on. And I drove the car last. He's like, well, what did you do to my car? I'm like, I didn't do anything to your car. And then I just went off on him. I'm like, I don't know what your problem is with me lately, but anytime there's like a little tiny mistake, if you want to call this a mistake, you feel you have the right to just get up in my grill.
Yeah.
And I'm about done with this.
Yeah. I'm done with it, girlfriend.
And so, and then he goes, well, and I'm like, well, what? He goes, nothing. I'm
right.
Like, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You quit while you're ahead.
Yeah.
And that makes you a good boyfriend.
He plays musical cars with you all the time.
I know he does. What am I going to do about that?
Nothing.
I know. You know. So literally last night I found it to be very fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, what I was telling his daughter and son-in-law about the situation at the movie theater, and I said, I don't think it's racist, but I think it's funny because I would tell anybody if 3 to 4 people of the same homogenized group came in, like, this is very interesting to me.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I wanted to find out more, but I couldn't.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting to me, too, because we had a little bit going. You're talking about Doug's daughter and her husband, right?
Right.
And her husband comes from Doug comes from a big family, like, I don't know, 8 or 9, I don't know. And his son-in-law comes from, like a 13 people in the family. And there's, like, they all live in one house, I think.
Right.
But you had gone early to get the oil change on Saturday morning, and
and
ran into Walmart, and you met one of his sisters.
Right. Oh, you're at Meons, aren't you?
No,
yeah.
I'm not. The point that I want to make is different than I think you think I want to make, because you weren't tracking who she was coming in, right?
No, I had no idea.
But what you were tracking is there's this. Shoot, I'm not going to be able to. I'm going to lose my voice. Is that there's this huge percentage of people that go into Walmart wearing pajama bottoms.
Yes. What's that about?
Girlfriend, take it.
Yeah. She had pajama bottoms on.
I know. And this, I know, honestly, it was early in the morning.
Yes. But it was 9 o'clock. It wasn't like it was 5 in the morning.
But you can go at any time.
Yes.
And see
pajama bottoms. They make the pajama bottoms really cute now. Sometimes they have bears on them. Sometimes they have the, you know, Green Bay Packers, or, you know, they're fun colors. You know, I get that. But they're pajama pants. They're definitely pajama pants.
Definitely.
And they're just not those sheer kind, you know, like back in the day in the 50s where you wore, like, satin to bed. Or you're in your lounge.
Yeah. Like Daddy has his camouflage.
Yes.
Pants.
And they're definitely pajama pants.
Yeah.
He loves to wear them out.
Yes.
I don't get it, but he loves to wear those out in the world.
That's right. And he likes to even wear them under his jeans, because he likes to know, like, if you're talking to him, he's in his mind, he's going, they don't know that I have pajamas on underneath this.
Yes, they don't know.
He's at work, or he's getting his teeth worked on, yeah, or whatever.
The dentist doesn't know that I could take off my pants right now.
Take off, and I'm going to be ready for bed. he just loves that.
I think it's hysterical, because in my mind, I'm going, this guy doesn't know that. I can take my pants and underwear off. I'll be naked.
But that was my point, was not that you ran into this girl who, quote unquote, you did not narc on her.
No,
because what you know about her is the mom, her mom and dad, and all her brothers and sisters are watching her little baby, because she was supposed to be working,
right,
at the nursing home.
Oh, yeah,
but she was in her pajamas with sex hair.
Yes,
and a guy, and he has sex hair.
Yes.
Right.
I didn't say it to you, but you just heard.
I'm embellishing.
Yes,
you're
the writer.
I know what happened.
Yes.
She just didn't get off of work from the nursing home.
No, she did not.
Put on her pajamas and sex hair.
No, she did not. And so.
And you didn't narc on her.
I didn't narc on her. Well, I kind of did. So anyway, and so she brings her attention to me, not the other way around. And I'm like, oh. And she's like every one of his sisters. So I'm like, oh my God, I think my brain is scanning. Where do I know her? Where do I know her? Where do I know her? And I'm like, oh, I know her. And then we talk, and she asked me a very weird question.
What was it?
So what'd you buy at Walmart?
Oh yeah. You said pads, licorice, and Metamucil.
Yeah. Chocolate, syrup. I go, you must know. And I changed him. You know.
But basically, it was just a dog collar.
A dog collar. Yes. And so.
But it's an odd question, though.
It was an odd question. I go, what are you getting?
Yeah, really?
I think she
condoms?
Said, yeah, exactly. She didn't say anything.
Sperm.
I don't know. But
and a donut.
Now, people are going to think that we're very weird, but we have this contest between you, me, Dad, and Greg,
yes,
which is what can be the most outrageous combination in the fewest amount of items that you would buy at Walgreens.
At Walgreens.
At Walgreens.
Yeah, and that would make somebody go, have
what?
Their jaw drop.
Yeah, what?
Say what?
What? What's going on there?
At 7:30 at night, you needed these four items?
Yeah, we're closing in 5 minutes, and this is what you got to get? And so sometimes we try and freak each other out on what the items are.
I think Gregory usually wins.
He does. Little freak. Yeah.
It's like Twizzlers, some kind of Imodium, and a book of stamps.
Exactly. And that makes...
And some ramen.
And some what?
Ramen.
Ramen noodles, yeah, exactly, ramen. Exactly. Hmm. Or sometimes you'll maybe go in for, like, off-brand Jell-O.
And you're like, Mom, don't make me write a check. I can't cash. My butt can't cash.
You know? Mm-hmm. And so, and now it's Christmas. They have such interesting items. Like they have
TV.
an oversized flask you can buy for Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Mom.
You're going to be with your family.
Oh, my God. Here's an oversized flask for you. Yeah. I already filled it with bourbon.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so funny. But here was my dilemma. And I, in my brain, I'm going, okay, she's a nice woman. You know, she's young and going to nursing school, got a little baby, lives with her parents, you know, doing everything she can. But I know that, like, Hillary and Dave take care of her kids sometimes for 2 days straight.
And you had to take care of the kids.
Well, meanwhile, I was there. I was,
Doug, yeah.
Yeah, and then I would, but I'm not in their circle of influence. I mean, if I do, it's only because...
You happen to be around.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Just like we were at the dog park that one time and she was there. Yeah. You don't remember that?
No, I don't remember that.
Well, we were at the dog... Well, Dad and I were at the dog park. You guys followed us. And the whole troop was there with Rosaria. Oops. Not her real name.
No. Oh, yeah, you're right. I think you're right. That's right. I guess I remember this. I don't really remember this.
No?
Okay.
Okay. All right.
But anyway, so, and then I know her, like, and I went out to dinner two weekends ago with, you know, Doug's daughter and son-in-law, and then the son-in-law's brother and wife, and we were all talking, and they were like, we have to watch her every Friday, and I just wanted to break,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the brother's like, we're not doing it because of my sister, we're doing it to take care of my mom, because she watches her all the time, and so I just thought it was so funny, because here I am seeing her out with a guy.
right.
And
you know the whole story.
Yes, I did, but I didn't rat her out.
Right.
But when I did see him, I go, oh, I saw your sister at Walmart today. And then he goes.
And that was so funny. Can I tell you why?
Yes, tell me why.
Because he said, which sister? And you said, the name, right?
Yeah.
And he goes, well, we saw her today, and she didn't mention anything about it. Like, oh my God.
And then he goes, are you sure?
Then he goes, are you sure? Yeah.
I go, well, I mentioned her baby, and she confirmed it. So unless your other sister was messing with me, and she goes, no, he wouldn't do that. So, but I didn't mention that she was with a guy mm-hmm. and had sex hair. I didn't mention that.
No, sex hair and pajamas. And, you know, the whole world is in those pajamas nowadays. It's crazy.
That's what they say. That's what they say about my pajamas. We got the whole world in there. Exactly right. I've got the whole world in my pajamas, man.
That could be a Christian song.
Yeah.
He's got the whole world
in my pajamas.
He's got the whole wide world.
Exactly.
In his pajamas. And there's some big, mofo pajamas.
Exactly.
Speaking of God.
Yes?
You had a Bible quote for me.
I do, and I'll tell you what that is right now.
Thank you.
Okay, my
one of my favorites.
Yes. Okay, well, one of your favorites. It's a new quote, isn't it?
Is this the one about a plan?
Jeremiah 29:11. It kind of talks. We're kind of changing into the topic real quick because we're getting slower out of time. Which was this whole idea about no plan B, burn the boats. Desmond Tutu talking about, you know, I'm a Christian, and I'm a prisoner of hope.
Right.
And how they all kind of tie together.
Yeah. We did. We linked it together.
We linked it together because, in so many ways, we have hope that there is no plan B needed.
Right.
We have hope enough that we burn any way of getting out of a situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this must succeed.
Mm-hmm.
There is no option.
Right. And sometimes we have to sort of quantify that word succeed then.
Yes.
If we burn the boats.
Yeah.
You know, you just make a go of it, people.
Exactly. But real quick, I want to say Javier Bardem. Is the guy you're...
Oh, Javier Bardem, thank you.
That's what I want to
say. He's kind of hot.
You know, how do you say Ralph Fiennes' name? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Is it Ralph?
I think it's Rafe.
That's what I think it is too, Rafe Fiennes.
Mm-hmm.
But he spells it like Ralph.
Right.
I don't get it.
But I think it's Rafe.
Yeah.
And Javier Bardem.
Yes. So that was it. So anyway...
Did it take you this long? 45 minutes?
The computer had to restart. Yes, it did.
Is that why you were telling me that your computer was rebooting?
Yes, that's what I was telling you.
Okay. Code word. I can't find Javier Bardem, Mom.
So anyway, mm-hmm. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Not to harm you. So
right.
Plans to prosper, not to harm you.
Right.
Plans to give you hope
right.
and a future.
And a future. Yeah.
And so here is this big, huge word of hope. And hope, it gets mixed in with faith a lot.
Mm-hmm.
How would you describe the difference between hope and faith?
I don't know, but somebody was saying that the difference between being optimistic and hopeful is a pretty big difference too,
right?
And I think that's probably a better, you know, looking between hope and optimism,
right?
But I think faith is required. It's a requirement,
right,
to have hope.
I agree.
I think faith is like a road, and then hope is the vehicle that travels down that road.
I love that definition.
You're welcome.
I'm going to work with that definition.
Could you write that down and make that my quote then?
Yes.
And so then when people look that up,
faith,
Christine Marie.
Road, hope, travels on. We'll work on it. Okay.
Or hope floats.
Yeah. Or hope floats. And so, and sometimes I use hope and faith interchangeably, but you're right, they're not the same. But they get confusing. But it's this idea that I think that hope can get you into, I mean, hope makes the world go around because it makes you strive for things better. And there's nothing wrong with that. I remember in one of Tony Robbins' teachings, he says, really the way to be happy is to have progress in your life.
Yes.
Boom.
Oh, so true.
That's it. That's it. Boom.
Yeah.
And there are some people who can't have happiness with progress. And you and I have talked about how you sometimes happiness has to be just a decision to make.
Happiness is a choice.
It's a choice.
Yes.
And mostly, because you and I are so close, we, and we don't mind sharing this on with our people out there, we allow ourselves the flexibility to talk about the little corners of our mind or thoughts that with other people we might not talk about.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when we talk about not being happy, we're really diving deep because generally, we, like I told you, if I died tomorrow, I'm not going to. I want to live to be 120,
that's,
you know.
Right.
Or as I say, one day longer than you.
Thank you, God.
Just one day. Or maybe one day and a European river cruise. You know, something like that. but, you know, I don't know where I was going with this. What was I saying?
Talking about hope, I think.
Right. But how about getting on death and all that stuff?
Yeah, I don't know. You said you wanted to live one day longer.
I know. Oh, but think about being happy.
Oh, yeah.
And
happy.
So,
yes,
and
right.
So when we talk about it, it's because we're really allowing ourselves to be real and to be completely vulnerable and honest, knowing the bigger truth, which is I see you as the shite brying start you are, and you see me as a shining bright light, and we work on, you know, how do we become better and better at who we really are,
right? And that authentic self.
And how
that
can
we
help? Yeah, and how can we help other people be their bright self?
Yeah, and but also knowing that, you know, that you know, you have off days, or you have you know, you have emotions that, you know, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I promise I don't build my house there. You know?
Exactly.
Keep on walking.
I can't believe you brought that Bible quote up this week.
Why?
Because I heard a man talk about that, and I want to say Thomas More, but it's not Thomas More.
Why not?
Because it's not him. It's the other. It's what's his name? Mike More.
Keith More.
Keith More. That's it. And he talked about being led by Jesus. And that quote, you're being led by Jesus all the way, even to the valley.
That's right.
And you're being led to the valley because on the other side of that is where you need to go.
Yes.
And that's the same thing about where Deepak Chopra talks about, you know, every obstacle you have must be solved at a different, at a higher level, and that's how you get transformation, transcendence, and all that. So it doesn't come without conflict, without obstacles.
Yes.
That is where that transformation comes from.
Right.
We can just choose to judge it in a certain way or be hard.
And just keep honing it. You
yeah,
know?
Exactly. But do you have, I mean, do you have anything in your life, though, if you look back at your life, where you had no plan B, where you burnt those boats, like this is going to work no matter what?
Yes, when I got married.
Ah.
That's the only time, really.
That you didn't have an outlet.
That I didn't, that I just, you know, when I can see myself in the altar in East St. Louis in the church, you know.
Yeah.
I think I'm 19. And, you know, it's like, okay, this is it, you know.
I'm going to make this work.
Because, well, and also, we didn't believe in divorce. I didn't even, couldn't even fathom it.
No.
So it was it.
It was do or
no
die.
No plan B.
No plan B.
Yeah.
Do you wish there would have been? That's a loaded question.
That's a loaded question.
I don't want to have the answer, to be honest with you.
Well, you know what? I think all things work together for good
right.
to those that love God. And it's all worked together for good.
Yeah.
Hasn't it? And it's just been...
100%.
It's been... This has been... This... You know, we you and I, just yesterday, we were talking about how this really, truly is a spiritual journey.
Right.
It's not a materialistic journey. You know, it's not, you know, even about a happy journey.
No.
You know, it really is...
Oh, for heaven's sake.
...spiritual journey.
Yeah.
And how you grow. And for me, it has been a huge growth experience compared to where I was probably heading.
Right. No, there are, you know, we all get to choose our path, right? And we get to choose our focus. And sometimes our focus is different times in our lives. But as a whole, you're exactly right. The path that I've chosen has been a spiritual journey.
You sure has.
And I'm not saying you can't make it financial and,
No, exactly.
But at risk of financial difficulties, I've always picked the spiritual side.
Right.
And that's an interesting path.
Mm-hmm.
There are other people out there that would say, my path has always been a financial path, financial prosperity, and I don't make any decision where I may lose money, you know?
Right, and that is that's a definite program.
A definite program.
That, you know, if you plug it in, put it in, and you know how to win that program,
yes,
it works.
For sure.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting. It's interesting that you brought that up. I'm going to meditate on that this week, girl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we're on a spiritual journey.
Uh-huh.
That we've chosen that, you know, and so forth.
And you burnt the boat, honey.
I burnt the boat.
Yeah.
Well, and I really, you know, we talked, I talked about this. I had a client that she was really doing a pretty strict food program, and for health reasons and so forth. And what she was noticing, she had no plan B, this is going to work, you know, is that because there's no plan B and because she was 100% in, she knows that the clutter had to go away, are the old habits that were taking her on the other path.
You bet.
And she was left with this space that we had to deal with.
Right.
And she, as a coach, I'm like, okay, what were you looking to fill this space with?
Right.
Happier things, you know, educational things, because you have the space here. This could be, and this is the reason we talk about three big dreams in our book.
Yes.
You know, the Clutterfly Effect.
Right.
We talk about transformation by decluttering your life.
Oh, so that can really you say that faster,
yes,
please?
No, I can't, because we've got 3 minutes left. Now, the Clutterfly Effect, tweak your way to total transformation by decluttering your life.
At Amazon.com.
Christy Marie and Julie. We're both, you know, there. Just go ahead and do that and pick it up, because we talk about three big dreams. And I think the reason why we pick, you know, it's good to have three big dreams that you're working on at one time is because when you're working on one and you've burned, you know, there's no plan B in some sense for one, you do notice that you've cleared some space. And sometimes that space can be filled with anxiety.
Mm-hmm. And that's what sometimes makes you go back to the old patterns.
100%, because that anxiety is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And are you willing to sit with being uncomfortable for more than just an hour?
No.
No, it's hard.
It's hard.
And when I say three big dreams, they're in different areas. So that, you know, maybe one's a physical dream, you know, because moving your body takes care of that anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's a fun dream, like, you know, going to 5 different national parks this year, and you dive into planning a vacation.
Mm-hmm.
That can be really fun.
Yes.
You know, and that fills up the void.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this week, as you're saying, what's the one thing that I'm not having a plan B for? This is going to work.
Right.
And I'm going to do whatever I have to. I'm not going to give up.
No.
I have hope that this will work.
Right.
I'm a prisoner of hope.
I am a prisoner of hope.
I'm going to make this work.
Love
I've got
it.
Got enough hope to laugh, and it floats to make this work. And if you really said that and believed it with all your heart, what kind of space would you have created for yourself? What things would you have to let go?
Right.
And in that let go space, you know, just take time. Like, what could you fill it with?
Mm-hmm.
The more positive, good things that you like to see in your life.
Right. And I like, very similar, Jill, and I know you're probably, we're running out of time, but remember that there's a new commercial where they're talking about taking small steps to your retirement?
Yes.
Or taking these great big steps, and people are like climbing all over each other, they're falling, and that people look at you like, no, the small steps make more sense, you know.
Yes.
That's exactly right in terms of hope, in terms of burning the boats, you know, still continue to do the small things, you know.
Exactly. Because it all makes sense. You're making the big, the decision is a big thing. And then your little habits daily
yes.
are the things that get you there.
Right.
Because so many of our big dreams, they're not going to be overnight successes. They're they're one step in front of another.
So when we said that faith was the road and that hope is the vehicle, we can say that the goal is the road and the little steps are the vehicle.
Yes. Exactly.
You write that one down.
I do. Yes. I will. I wrote that down right now.
Oh, good.
Goal, road, steps, vehicle. I like it. All right.
And what was the vehicle? Inspector?
Yeah.
A Land Rover.
Yeah.
No, an Aston Martin,
yes.
I think.
Okay, we got to go, but real quick before we go,
yeah.
I was watching The League, and it was 3 months old or 2 months old, and on there it was a Volkswagen commercial saying, you know, and here is our 2015 diesel, clean diesel Volkswagen.
Ah, funny.
I laughed hysterical.
Ah, funny.
Yes. So, girlfriend, how
hilarious.
Did you think the show was?
Oh, I thought it was great.
That was great.
It was great.